No, Guru Kiran, we cannot hear you. Guru Kiran?
Okay, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, I was playing around with the mute. I guess I just muted myself. Okay, let's start again. This has been an interesting... I think we're moving towards Mercury retrograde, so maybe that's what's happening. Wow. Okay, June 25th, 2013, the year of ascension, activation, Shakti activation coming into being. So our master was, Yogi Bhajan was starting with letting us know what our focus is for the rest of this year. We just passed through the solstice, already the halfway mark. We've got a 2, a 1, and a 3. So with our 10 steps to be human, he's reminding us that remember to be discriminating between what he's saying, between lower and higher frequencies, and he's suggesting or asking, he's saying you don't need to backslide and go to situations that basically appear to raise your vibration but are actually lowering the vibration of where you are. That's an example of the 2. Be discriminating. Negative mind, discrimination. And don't worry so much. He said things are going to be fine. And then we have the 0, shunya, the ability to, he's saying that means the ability to zero out our ego and relate to the infinity of our soul. And this is the process that we're in right now. To put put everything in, put everything, all your concerns into the circle, into the 0 point, and then allow it to move through, like the 0 is a container, like a portal to infinity. Allow any worries or concerns. He's saying even draw a circle before you meditate and write down your worries and concerns. And then just allow them to move through this portal of shunya to get zeroed out and move into the infinite expression. That everything negative has a positive, and it needs to move to the neutral or to the shunya. And that's the practice right now, to keep moving. He's saying whether it's our own concerns, our own fears, our own negativity, to practice moving everything to the shunya. It's a practice. It doesn't just happen, he's telling us. And then 1, for the 1-3, soul. Look at the world through the eyes of your soul, and we've realized what your soul frequency is. So we've talked about that. So if the day you're born is a 9, then you look at the world through the eyes of how can I create transformation. And I just had this in a session. I was working with a goddess yesterday, and she's a very beautiful young goddess with a soul birthday of 9, soul number of 9. And so she was having this experience of a lot of transformation and wondering why certain things were a certain way in her life and how she's going to find somebody to be with, things like that. So, you know, when I helped her understand that the way she's working with the world through the eyes of her soul is she's looking for the transformation, how to uplift every situation, it really helped her understand more of who she is rather than projections that people had put on to her that made her feel unstable. So, and the number 9 is an odd number as opposed to an even number, but it's a number of movement and transformation rather than a number of instability. So that's an example of moving from the negative mind into shunya. It has to do with creating that comfort with the feeling of flow and being able to uplift other people with the feeling of flow, which is, we have 3, the positive mind. So this is what this time period is about right now. We're re-entering the consciousness, the portal, the frequency of the divine feminine of the goddess. And this is the astrology that we're moving into as we pass through the super full moon, the solstice, all of these energies. We had this full moon was at perigee, which means the closest it ever gets to the Earth. And then the apogee of the full moon is what astrologers call Black Moon Lilith, which is just a dot. It's a point in time and space, which is a reference point, and that represents the opposite of the perigee, or the closest of the full moon, or the divine feminine, the mother energy to the Earth, is the apogee, which is called Black Moon Lilith, which represents the mystery. So we have the presence of the Divine Mother during this highest day of light, during these 10 days around solstice, right now, really strongly, the strongest it's going to be for this whole year, this presence of the Divine Mother. And it's illumination. It's the illumination of what is the reframe of divinity on the planet at this time. So when you understand like what your birthday is, like what your soul number is, the eyes of your soul, and you can remember that the observer changes the, I'm going to say experience rather than experiments. In quantum physics, that's what they found. The observer changes the experiment. So what our master's telling us is that the frequency of your soul, as you project it out, as you look upon the world, it changes the experience. And he's saying the experience that we're changing into is one of what we've been talking about, activation of the Divine Feminine, the Shakti activation. Well, we got this huge infusion of light these last few days. So we're moving into the embrace, the embodiment of that. And that's what the Divine Feminine, the Shakti activation is the embodiment. And our master tells us, and has told us, that until somebody's Kundalini energy is active, is activated in their body, he used to tell us that if your Kundalini isn't activated, you're crazy. So what he's saying is that there's all these levels of kind of like ghost thoughts right now that are being projected, like as there's more light. So people, and he's saying this is a pivotal piece, people that don't have the Kundalini activation in their physical bodies, connected with their etheric bodies, connected with their 10 bodies, you know, people that don't have that activation will project ghost systems, ghost ways of thinking onto the screen of humanity. So it's important to use that tool of discrimination to know what you're walking into. Are you walking into somebody else's projected dream? Or is it something that you can feel in your own body? And when you can feel your own activation in your own body, now you're connected with your own power as one who can share your mastery with others, share our mastery with others. So he was really wanting to talk with us about that, because he's saying he doesn't want us to dilute or delude our mastery, and he's needing us to step forward, and he's saying that there's lots of wonderful things planned for us this year, and we're going to be moving out more into the world, and all of us are going to be sharing more, and it's coming very soon. So he's just saying it's important at this time to... He said he knows we maybe were impatient, but it's important to just stay a little bit longer with this process of consolidating our own power, our own light in our physical bodies. And that's what he's really wanting us to stay focused on this week. And there's also a tendency, he's saying, because as goddesses, as people that have been on the planet before, as bringing forth the Divine Feminine in times of darkness, there's been a lot of shutting down of the Divine Feminine. I worked with two beautiful ladies this week, and the first lady I worked with, I saw a past life where she'd been in Greece in a temple, a goddess temple, in part of that energy, and then, of course, at the end, it didn't go well. She was shut down. and another lady too, where she'd been a beautiful temple dancer and belly dancer and very revered in her tribe and her village, and then had been captured and sold into slavery. So this period right now, with all this light on the divine feminine, is also bringing up the shadow aspect. So this is why our master is saying to practice in our meditation, the shunya, writing things down and bringing it to that zero point, which zeroes things out, which cancels out the karma, and that we're doing that for ourselves, but we're also doing it for the planet, for this energy right now. So he's just telling us this is what to be aware of and what he wants us to work with. So he's saying, as you go into the shunya, you just go deeply into your breath and you close your eyes. And when you focus on your third eye, you go back inside your head to activate the pineal, like a backwards triangle. And then the light can shoot in from the crown chakra and up from the earth and meet there and move into sixth dimension or sacred geometry, which is the interface for us to co-create with the divine. So he's asking us during our meditation this week to activate that light of our pineal. And we worked with this before, but he's saying that he's going to be working with us this week on that activation. So, yes, okay, let's take a breath. And we will be chanting a call for Linda and Linda's mother on her journey. And Yogi Bhajan's telling us that when we chant a call and we focus on the reconnection with the divine, that it sets a trajectory, sets a direction for the soul that's leaving. And he's just reminding us that it is really important and valuable, so not to minimize the power of our chanting for those souls that are crossing over also. So he wanted to tell us that. Thank you, sir. Wow, okay, so let's keep breathing. Thank you. Well, what we started talking about last week astrologically is we have this Sun conjuncting Jupiter, and now we've moved into the astrological sign of Cancer. So we've got the expansion of the divine feminine, which is what we've been talking about. And we had that, as I said, the perigee full moon. And the moon, the lunar, also activates lunacy. So you may have noticed more crazy thoughts in yourself or more craziness around you. But be aware that if something comes up from your own unconscious or your own subconscious, to have some distinctions about it and to, again, contain it with that circle of shunya that I was talking about. I had some intense feelings come up myself over these last few days, over the weekend. And for me, it was personal, had to do with kind of these feelings of abandonment, my father not being there for me. But I have a really great relationship with both my parents right now and a really great connection with my father. They're on the other side of the veil, and I'm in communication with them. And I wasn't really aware of that, but it came up. And at first it was kind of overwhelming, but then when I realized what it was and I could contain it and say, oh, that's what it is, and it was brought up just for something for me to be present to and feel it in my body and to move it into the circle, zero it out, and just watch it just dissipate. So things have to come to the surface to be recognized, and then we can let go of them. We can't just let go of things completely unconsciously, like hope they go away, which is a level of denial. This is more like, but it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out, painful process. It can just be a process of noticing it, containing it, taking it to shunya with the deep breathing, the activation of the pineal, the moving into the sixth dimension of co-creation, and then it just dissipates, because once we claim, not only claim, but activate the power, our power as co-creators, then that six-dimensional sacred geometry, those triangles, reconfigure our frequency so that we can now create feelings of support and connection and love and people being there for us and us being there for ourselves or whatever we need. It starts to, the way the triangles, the sacred geometric forms, were held in place or freed up so we can literally be reconfigured to a place that feels connected and powerful and those kinds of things. So that's why different aspects can come up from the subconscious, from the unconscious, because they're frozen. So just watch them and breathe into it so that we don't have like frozen unconscious forms that could be from past lives, could be from this childhood, could be from the culture, could be from anything. But he's telling us that the light of the sun, the solstice light of the sun, and this connection with this full moon being so close to the earth created the perfect Shiva Shakti tantric balance for reconfiguration. And he's saying, you know, even though we weren't in New Mexico, which he would love us all to have the privilege of being there, and we'll meet there sometime, I'm confirming and putting out there, is that he's giving us that energy right now to basically, when you get that balance of the male and the feminine, that's the creative energy, and when that's balanced inside ourselves, now we can work with the triangles of the sixth dimension of sacred geometry to bring what it's our soul's desire to bring into form. So that's what happened to me personally. I had some stuck father energy there, some stuck abandonment energy. Basically, my father, you know, is a really wonderful being, but he just was working a lot when I was growing up, which I appreciate. So, yeah, you don't know what's actually there sometimes till it shows up, and don't be afraid of it, because that's how to work with it, just to know that there's a way to work with it. So that's, you know, what's happening with the astrology right now. So we're moving in out of this from Gemini into Cancer, into those deeper feeling places, those deeper watery places. And the affirmation for Cancer and these energies is, I have the right to feel. So we're coming out of 6,500 years of patriarchy where we're told, don't feel, just do. Just get A's on your report card. Just sit in this desk and don't move and don't flow. Just the thought that we're trained in school just to sit still and learn when our body is a learning system. And I saw an interesting show on, I'm trying to think what it was on, I think it was on PBS or something, about a person that designs things, objects, based on human design. And he designed a desk for children that's on, it moves around. He's saying, you know, it's more circular. They have a place underneath where they sit for their backpacks. And he's saying, what, you watch people and then you design things based on human movement, which is more the feminine flow in the desk. He said, what do children do? They fidget. So if they're in a desk where they can move around, they're going to be more able to pay attention. Rather, if they're trying to focus on stopping the flow of their energy, which allows them to feel, then they're going to be really distracted by that. And that's been the cultural conditioning, to stop us from feeling. So I thought that was interesting. I saw that little piece of that show this week. So for this Cancer period of time, the affirmation is, I have the right to feel. So we want to reclaim whatever comes up from our subconscious and to feel into it and breathe into it. And to just claim it and know that we can move from what was maybe a painful feeling into the mystery of that feeling, knowing that that 80% is unknown. So we move, when we move into the mystery, which is the divine feminine, is the mysterious. So when we allow ourselves to move into, get familiar with, and get comfortable with the mysteries of life, like just think about when a woman's pregnant, it's very mysterious. It's not like we have cellophane tummies and we get to watch what goes on as life develops, but this period of time is getting comfortable with the mystery of the divine feminine. So when we think about science, everything has to be known and quantified and experimented with and seen and predictable, and we're moving into this time when things aren't going to go according to certain plans or certain systems that have been set up in the past. There's quantum energies where things just burst, where things are birthed, and they can be birthed suddenly, and they can be birthed in a big way. And they may have been developing for a long time, but we can birth the unknown. We can birth these frequencies of the divine feminine, so to speak, very quickly now. That's what I'm hearing our master tell us, that we now have this new polarity, this since the solstice. We have more power to work with the Shiva energy that's on the planet because we had the activation of that Shakti, that full moon solstice closest to the earth. So there's some of the astrology that we have for this period of time. And that conjunction, that Sun-Jupiter conjunction, is for a whole year. So we're just kind of getting going. We're just starting. We're just getting going on all this. I also thought it was interesting when I pulled one of my amulets of the goddess, their little runes, their little round symbols, and I pulled one called LABRYS, Labrys, priestess power. And the image is kind of like a little goddess image in the center with two, to me it looks like wings on the side, but the explanation says that it's a double-bladed axe. And to me that reminds me of a spiritual path being symbolized as a double-edged sword. You have to stay focused or you slip off the edge and get cut, right? So I thought it was interesting. It's supposedly a symbol of ancient tribes of Asia, North Africa, and the Black Sea area, and it talks a lot about Greece, and it's saying that they're women who lived together and celebrated the goddess in nature and all life, and they fought to preserve, I thought that was interesting, this double-sided axe or double-sided sword. They fought to preserve their goddess focus, their goddess culture, against the invading patriarchal forces. So it's saying that they governed and supported themselves. They enjoyed art. They wrote poetry. And they had certain athletic games, lots of crafts. And they had mythological stories. And a lot of artifacts have been found that they made. And they tamed wild horses, and it's saying that they are considered to be mythical, but their evidence, their archaeological evidence shows that they did exist. And among other places they settled was in Lesbos, in Greece. So I thought it was really interesting that this was the piece that I drew from my dark, mysterious velvet bag. That this is what I'm seeing, that we have this reversal of fortune right now where, as I said with these two goddess ladies that I had personal sessions with this week. Usually I work on Skype, but these two ladies were in the San Diego area, so it was really powerful. I saw that when they had basically been taken over, and now this is a reversal of fortune. We're now taking our power back. We're going the other direction. We're moving back into reclaiming the goddess. We're moving back into owning the powers that support and create life. We're moving back into divine clarity, back into divinity coming onto the planet, and acknowledging the goddess energy as the source of life, rather than thinking that it's something else, and moving with this flow. So it's also, she's also called the snake goddess, which I thought was really interesting. So I of course pulled a Kundalini goddess, right? And her color's purple, crown chakra, and her fragrance is frankincense, which is supposed to be a very healing fragrance, which also kills viruses and things like that, which I think is kind of interesting. When you think of viruses, can also be like mental viruses, right? Think ways of people thinking. And the ritual celebration is a priestess party. So when you pull this rune, it's saying it's time to celebrate and honor the ancient priestesses and to decorate your temple. So this is a good time to decorate the temple and celebrate. And this is a little poem that she says. We are one with the goddess divine. We are the priestess of ancient mother time. We know in our hearts her story is true. We are here to celebrate and share it with you. And then the instructions are to dance with some great dance music and share some food. So I love that, and I felt that that was really representative of the astrological energy and what our master's telling us about solstice and the reconfiguration of our creative energies. So that's some of what we're working with this week. But remember, when you breathe into your meditation, to feel that full moon perigee, full moon closest to the earth energy, solstice, the light of that, it's still right here. And he does tell us now, that the 10 days around the solstice, so we're still in that 10-day period, are the really powerful days to reset our frequency for the next 6 months, the next year, this next period of time. So we're just going to go ahead and chant the Ma meditation, which we've chanted many times before, but it's what's being suggested right now to chant. And then after we chant the Ma meditation, we're going to do a call for Linda's mother. So we'll hold Linda and her mother in the light as we chant. Move into this frequency. Good, good. And we'll receive that beautiful solstice energy, tantric solstice energy. Inhale. Aka. 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 Blessing to Linda's mother on her journey back to her divine home. Inhale. And let it go, let it go, let it go. Beautiful. Thank you, everybody. If anybody would like to share, you can share if you like. And if you're still feeling very meditative, that's okay, too. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. I hope you're still there.
I am there. Thank you for bountiful, blissful, and beautiful.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. Yes. And thank you for the clarification. Thank you for the lesson again and again. And thank you, Master.
Yes. Thank you to everybody on the call. Thank you to our beautiful Master who talks to us and penetrates our psyche so that we can reach the divinity of our soul here on earth, I hear him telling us. So that's really what's happening on these calls, you know. I'm talking, but there's a greater transmission. So anyway,
I feel every day that I am more empowered and empowered and empowered. I really do feel that I have my power back. But you cannot mess around with me.
I love that. I totally feel that. Good. Excellent. Okay, everybody. Thank you, Satnam. And the meditation for this week is remembering to activate the pineal by that inner triangle and chanting the Ma meditation. So,
thank you, Satnam. I love you.
Satnam, love you. Bye.